عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, this is Junaid coming to you on the Power Hour every Sunday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Today we have a very, very interesting session, you know, continuing from last week's very successful show on the 10 Steps for Matriculant. Now, today we're talking about learning styles, okay? Learning styles and the different personality types, how they learn. So basically what we want to do is we want to make sense and understand the different types of learners that you get, what's their personality characteristics, what are their language patterns, what are their motivation strategies, how they answer exam questions, you know, which ones they strong in, which ones they weak in, basically their strengths and weaknesses. And we're also going to talk about their love languages as well, you know, what, you know, how they like to be loved and cared for. And then I want to finish off with the top skills that a child, whether you're in primary school or high school, but the top skills that you need for success in academics, especially for academics as well as emotional intelligence for 2024. This was a study done by UNESCO, and you know, it was conducted in South Africa. So I'm going to be talking about these skills. So it's a topic that's very, you know, very close to me. I'm very passionate about human behavior, especially in learning and academics when it comes to brain performance. So this is a very, very interesting session. Those of you that are listening, you may want to get a piece of paper. You know, especially if you're writing exams, it's going to help you, you know yourself better, as well as get to know others very well. You'll start understanding personalities very well. So this is part of emotional intelligence. And, you know, just to give you the summary of what emotional intelligence actually is broken up into four parts. Now, emotional intelligence is all about the self, and that is broken up in two. And the second part of emotional intelligence is basically all your relationships. So you call it the social aspect of life. So the first part of emotional intelligence is self-awareness. I need to become aware about myself, how I, you know, how I think, how I speak, my language patterns, basically knowing everything about yourself. And the second part of that in emotional intelligence is now how to regulate and manage myself. How do I manage myself? So self-awareness, first part. Second part, self-management. And the third part is, like I said, about your relationships, whether it's online, offline, but it's about social awareness, being aware about the different personalities, different types of people, how they're behaving, how they're speaking. And the second part of that is social management or social regulation, how to manage, like, for example, a conflict or a disagreement, you know, how to manage all your relationships, both positively and negatively. So that's in a nutshell what emotional intelligence is all about. So when it comes to your personality type, right, and your learning style and your character, it all boils down to, you know, how your identity has been shaped. Now, you remember, I've mentioned this many times, that we are creatures of habit. We human beings, we're creatures of habit. We do something over and over again. We get used to it. We tend to carry on doing the same thing. So let's talk about how do characters, you know, form this identity or take up this identity. So a child or any human being, their identity, their character is shaped by one of four things. The first one is basically, as you're growing up, your parents. The second part is all about who you hang out with, your friends, your peers, you know, who you're chilling out with. The third one is all about people that are in positions of authority, elders in the family, our ulama, your teachers, your ustad, anybody that, you know, teaching you or in charge of you. And the fourth one is the major one, and this is the media, in whether it's print media, online media, you know, whether it's you listening to nasheeds, whether you're watching clips, videos, all of that, every type of media falls in there. So when we, now I've just given you the breakdown of how the character is actually shaped by these four things. Now let's go into a little bit of the learning style, right? So how to identify quite easily what is your learning style and what is the preferred method for the brain that's the go-to to learn at any given point in time? We're going to find out today. So right now, you're listening to me speak, you are learning, you're probably looking at something. Now that means you are taking in information from all over around you, from the world around you, via your five senses, okay? So we're taking information through all our senses. What can I see? What can I hear? What can I feel, right? What can I smell? What can I taste? And the brain gives that information some meaning. For example, if you were studying for a test or an exam, and you looked at a section, and it maybe had some complicated, maybe some graphs or some numbers that looked, you know, kind of complicated. The first thing you might think of is, oh my gosh, this looks quite difficult. This looks quite hard. That's just the meaning you attach to that. It's not necessarily true. And I like to use a simple example that people understand very easily is, a lot of times when you see a boy and a girl standing together and if they're talking, and if you from far, you see this, you know, a boy and a girl together, what's the first thing goes through your mind? Most often, you say, okay, something's happening there, or, you know, they're in a relationship. And again, I say, that's the meaning you attach to that information. Because you don't know, you're assuming. You don't know until you go there and ask, hey, Junaid, who's this? And then he says, no, this is my sister, or this is my cousin, or this is my, you know, my niece. It can be a thousand things, but what you chose was one meaning. So we like to attach meaning to the information that we take in via our five senses. And then we also have what we call our sixth sense, your intuition, or you can even call it your gut feeling. Now, for exam, everybody always, you know, in an exam, you'll always have this gut feeling come into play where you'll write an answer. And then the gut feeling goes, you know what, I think it's this one, not that. So I always recommend you always go with your gut feeling because that is your subconscious mind, which is your intuition, and it's now trying to tell you something. And very often you'll find that the intuition or the gut feeling is always right. So let's talk about, learning as we grow up. As we're growing up, there are basically four stages of learning. So the first three, everybody experiences it. But the fourth one, you'll find a lot of, like, for example, I didn't experience it growing up. Our parents didn't experience it. So let's see what these are. And you'll find that the modern generation, especially generation X, Y, and Z, they love this fourth one, which, for example, their parents, their elders didn't experience. So what are these stages of learning when growing up? The first stage of learning when we are growing up is called the kinesthetic phase of growing up, or the kinesthetic phase of learning, right? So what does this mean? This actually means that when the child is little, small little baba, right? You know, from 1 or 2 months, right up until 2, 3, right? It can sometimes even go up to 4. Now, when that child learns, they learn by touching, feeling. They have no idea, especially when they're very little and they're crawling around. They make sense of the world around them by holding things, touching things. And we all know babies love to put things in their mouth, especially if they see shiny objects like phones and remotes. And, you know, so they like to, you know, nobody's looking, they put it in their mouth. So they learn by touching, feeling, experiencing the world around them. That carries on right up until, sometimes it can be right up until 4 years old, right? And then we have the second phase of growing up. The second phase of learning while growing up. And this phase is called the auditory learning phase. What this means is now the child, when this child comes, maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, now they start speaking. This is called the auditory learning phase of growing up. So whatever they hear, mama, abba, dada, whatever words they hear others speaking, they want to use the same and they want to do the same. They want to start speaking. So very often you'll find they will repeat everything they hear. Words they don't even know the meanings of, they will use those words. And then you get the third phase when, you know, This is around about 5-6 years old, sometimes start from as early as 4, where it's now the visual learning phase of growing up, where everything the child sees, ah, ma, I like this. Ah, mommy, I want this new toy. Mommy, I want that. So the third part is the visual, right? So as you can see and hear from this, this is based on your senses. The fourth phase of learning and whilst growing up is called the digital learning phase. This means that these children will now learn using technology. They're born into the technology. It's no fault of theirs. Technology is they in a world surrounded by technology. So they learn by technology. And here's what's interesting about digital learning phase. What you learn digitally, you don't ever forget. For example, if I were to tell you, let's just say, for example, you had an iPhone, you were gifted an iPhone or a MacBook, and maybe it got lost or stolen, or something happened to it, right? Now you don't have an iPhone or a MacBook any longer. And so they replace it, and they tell you, hey, listen, it's too expensive to get an iPhone. You know what? You just use the Samsung or, you know, another phone. Now, for the next 5-6 years, you're using a normal Samsung, and you're using a normal computer. Now, after 6 years, somebody buys you a new iPhone. Now, the question I would ask is, have you forgotten how to use an iPhone? Not at all. Have you forgotten how to use a MacBook? Not at all. This is also another very simple example to understand this by is, if you bought any device, right, that has technology in it in your house, like especially TVs, you know, you can't program it, but give a child the remote. Give the child the remote and see how quickly they can actually, you know, fix that thing up and put it right. And the next time, whether it's months or years later, they just know, right, go in here, go there, go. So that's called the digital phase of learning and growing up. So how we tie this in with learning styles is based on this, what I just told you now, that we take in information by what we see, what we hear, what we feel, and also what we experience with the technology. So what exactly is a learning style? So in simple words, or in a simple way for me to explain what a learning style is, I would say it's basically how your brain likes to learn or take in information. Because have you ever experienced, you know, a time where, I use this example a lot. So have you ever experienced being in a classroom or a lecture or a training or, you know, or a talk where the speaker, the teacher, the trainer is just speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. And after 10 minutes, you zone out, you look outside, you wonder, hey, what time is it going to finish? Now, it doesn't mean that the speaker, the teacher, the trainer is boring. Neither does it mean that the subject is boring. What it means is the way the information is being delivered is not how your brain wants that information. So now we know what a learning style is. Why is it important to use a learning style? I'll give you three simple reasons. One is, learning becomes much more easier. Learning becomes much more easier because now the brain is highly motivated. It's working with the brain. So you're learning naturally and easily because you're learning how the brain works. You're learning with the brain how the brain works naturally. And this converts into understanding. Very often, if you use and you match the learning style of a learner, you'll find that work becomes understandable much more easily. So three things it does. One, it makes learning much more easier and fun. Number two, you're now learning naturally how the brain works with the brain. And number three, it makes understanding much more easy. So let's talk about the different learning styles that you get. So according to traditional psychology, we have the three main learning styles, which is visual, right? According to the traditional psychology and the stats, it says 65% of the world are visual people, meaning that they like to learn by seeing things. They want to see something. They want to see a PowerPoint presentation. They want to see a video. They want to see colors. They want to see something aesthetic. It must attract the eye, right? Then you get the second type of learner or the learning style, which is called auditory learning, right? So auditory learning, basically, according to the stats, 30% of the world are auditory learners. And this means they learn by listening, by hearing, by talking and discussing. So that's auditory learning. And then kinesthetic learners are 5%. And I actually don't agree with these figures because with my working of over 140,000 students over the last 15 to 20 years, I think it now turned around the other way around, especially post-2010, from 2012 right to date, you'll find that there are more people that are kinesthetic. So these kinesthetic people are people that are very highly misunderstood. And when they learn by actually experiencing, doing something with their hands. They feel it. They like to do something with their hands, not with their eyes, not with the mouth. They are the feelers and touches of the world. They want to go, a simple example of that. If we bought a brand new laptop and gave it to a child, a visual learner will look at the manual, read the manual, or even go and watch some videos of how to use that laptop. An auditory learner will pick up the phone and call one of the friends. Junaid, you've got a laptop like this. How do I do this? How do I do that? So they will engage in a conversation, right? Because they learn best by hearing, listening, asking, and talking. And then a kinesthetic personality will say, hey, I don't want to see the manual. I don't need to see any videos. I don't need to talk to anybody. Just give me the laptop. Let me play around with it. I'll play around and I'll figure it out. And yeah, definitely you give them an hour or two and suddenly they figure it out. They know, oh, okay, this is how I do that. And they will teach you how things are done. So like I said, these are the three main learning styles. I just don't agree with the percentages because I believe now we have more kinesthetic personalities than ever before. And that is the reason why you'll find this fictitious pandemic that's been made up called ADD, ADHD, is because kinesthetic personalities are highly, highly misunderstood people. They just don't understand them. They just don't get them. And you'll understand why when I start explaining the different characteristics. Okay? So, now we look at, this is called multisensory learning, listeners. It's about you now learning how to identify what is your learning style, how it relates to you as a learner now during exams, how it motivates you, what are your motivation strategies based on your learning style. So what you don't know is, you know, on a deeper level when it comes to behavioral science, these modalities or these, this visual, your senses, these things actually create meaning internally as well. So how you see something, it creates a picture internally. If I ask you to think of a time when you were extremely, extremely happy, you laughed so much, your tummy was paining, cheeks were paining, you'll find that there are that were used in that memory. You'll find that you can hear lots of laughter. You can see happiness. You can feel the joy and the happiness, right? So you'll find that internally, the system, when it codes this information, right, and all of this happens in a split second. So what we know is these modalities internally drive the brain. And this is how we also learn. We use these modalities internally to be able to learn information. All right. So now, listeners, I want you all to get a piece of paper and use your phone, right? I'm going to do a quick test. We want to test to see which is your preferred learning style. How we're going to do this is those senses that I spoke about just now, visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, one of these three senses are always the most dominant and most strongest sense in every human being. And you always, right, it can change by the minute, it can change by the hour, it depends on your mood and your state. But one of the three are always the most strongest and most dominant. Now, based on that, whichever one is the most strong and dominant, you will learn according to that, you'll speak according to that, you'll be motivated according to that. You know, everything is based on that sense. So we need to find out which of this is your most dominant sense. Okay, so I'm going to do a quick test, and I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and I'm going to go through them very quickly, right? Each question has three answers, and when I give you the answers, you might think, oh, I do all. Yeah, you might be doing all. That's because you have five senses, right? But I want to know which one you do first because that's the correct one. So that's the reason I'll be running through it very fast, not giving your brain time to analyze, right? I want you to give me the first answer that comes to mind. So if anybody is wondering what happened to the other two senses, because Coach Junaid only spoke about visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Well, in neuroscience, the number of people that learn by the sense of taste and smell is very, very, very small, less than 1%. So in neuroscience, we negate it. We leave it out completely. Okay, so now let's get back to our test. Are you all ready? Do you have your piece up? Pretty sure you do, right? You've got your piece of paper. Write down 1 to 10. And when you got your answer, all you got to do is write number only. If I asked you, this is just an example, okay? If I asked you, what is your favorite color? Is it number 1 red? Is it number 2 blue? Or is it number 3 pink? And you go, hey, my favorite color is blue. You're just going to write down number 2. You're just going to write down number 2. Okay, so here's our test. Let's get started. Remember, I'm going to go through it quite fast. I will repeat the questions for you. And then you're going to give me the first answer that comes to mind. And for that answer, you're just going to write down a number only. So, question number 1. When you think about spelling a word, for example, the word apple, do you, number 1, picture the word, you visualize it, you close your eyes and you picture how the word is spelled, you visualize it? Or number 2, do you sound it out and you say it, A-P-P-L-E, apple, yeah. Or number 3, do you write it down or type it out to see if it kind of feels or looks right? Which one? 1, 2, or 3? When you think about spelling the word apple, do you, number 1, do you imagine, visualize how it's spelled out? Or number 2, do you say it out, A-P-P-L-E? Or number 3, do you write it down to see if it looks or feels right? Question number 2, when you're really concentrating on something, whatever it is you're doing, whether you're praying salah, whether you're reading, whether you're learning, are you distracted by, number 1, messy, untidy area, too many things on the desk, you know, it distracts you? Or number 2, are you distracted by noise, people talking loudly, if there's music playing somewhere outside? Or number 3, are you distracted by people walking in and out, moving around? So basically, movement. So when you're really concentrating and really paying attention to something, are you distracted by, number 1, messy, untidy desk, chaotic? Or number 2, are you distracted by people making noise, people talking loudly, music playing loudly somewhere, or any sound that are distracting? Or number 3, are you distracted by people moving up and down, walking in and out? Write down the number. What is yours? 1, 2, or 3? Question number 3, when you recall any memory, for example, a holiday you've been on, do you remember that holiday with, number 1, a very clear picture? When I talk about this holiday, this picture comes to mind. Or number 2, do you remember that holiday by all the sounds you heard, things you heard about the place, things people told you about the place, things that you spoke about that holiday or that memory? Or number 3, do you remember that holiday, that memory, with a clear picture in your mind, that like a movie? You go, no, first we went to the airport. From the airport, we hired a car. Then we drove to the hotel. Then we went to the beach. And then we did that. It's like a movie. Everything is moving. So is it number 1, a clear picture, a still picture, you know, but it's a picture of that memory? Or number 2, all the things you heard, things you spoke about that place, sounds you heard? Or number 3, was it a moving picture where you saw yourself, you know, going to the airport, doing this, going there, doing that? All of this was moving. Which one? 1, 2, or 3? Question number 4, when you're really angry and pissed off, do you, number 1, keep quiet, boil, burn inside, waiting to explode like a 2-liter Coke bottle? Or number 2, do you start shouting loudly and, you know, getting abusive, abusive and maybe swearing and using those funny words? Or number 3, are you somebody when you're angry, you know, you'll clench your fist, you'll bang the desk, you know, grind your teeth, stamp the foot, slam the door, slam the pot? Which one, right? So when you're really angry, do you, number 1, do you just keep quiet and boil and burn inside waiting to explode? Or number 2, do you start shouting loudly, screaming at everybody, you know, maybe sometimes swearing them? Or number 3, are you somebody who'll grind your teeth, clench your fist, bang the table, slam the door, kick the dog? Okay, I'm joking. So That's number four. Number five, when you meet somebody after a very, very long time, you meet somebody, let's just say you came to Durban after 5 years and you see somebody, right, that you met 5 years ago. Are you, number one, somebody that doesn't remember people's names, but you remember what they look like? You remember their faces. You go, hey, I remember you. You came to my school and did that. Or number two, are you somebody who forgets people's faces, but you remember names because you speak about them, or maybe you remember names much better than remembering faces? Or number three, are you somebody who only remembers you and what you did? So again, if you meet a person after a very long time, like 5 or 6 years, are you, number one, somebody who forgets people's names but remember how they look? Number one, you remember their faces. Or number two, do you forget what they look like in their faces, but you remember their names because you talk about them? Or number three, are you somebody who only remembers you and what you did? What is your answer? Is it one, two, or three? Remember, you might be somebody who does all three, but because you got five senses, I want to know which one you do first. Question number six. If I ask you to describe your room door right now, would you, number one, first close your eyes and picture in your mind everything about the room door? Or number two, would you start talking about it and describing it in very descriptive and colorful words, telling me everything about that door? Or number three, are you somebody who will think about how it opens, how it feels? Okay, coach, I punched it here. That's why there's a hole. So when describing your room door, would you, number one, picture it in your mind's eye, what it looks like, you'll imagine it? Or number two, would you start talking and describing it in very descriptive and colorful words? Or number three, would you think about how it opens, how it feels, what sounds does it make? Which one? One, two, or three? Write down the number. Okay, question number seven. When you are actually doing any learning, actual learning, right, whether it's academic, Islamic, if you're learning something, do you like to learn, number one, work that is in pictures, videos, PowerPoints? Or number two, do you like to learn by listening to people talk, giving, you know, instructions, discussing, debating, arguing, telling you what to do like I'm doing right now? Or number three, are you somebody who likes to learn by doing some kind of activity, making something, doing something, participating in some kind of, you know, group activity? Which one? One, two, or three? One is you like work, you like to learn work that is in colors, pictures, PowerPoint presentations, videos. Or number two, do you like to learn by listening to people talk, discuss, debate, giving instructions like I'm doing right now? Or number three, are you somebody who likes to learn by doing some kind of activity, physical, right? Making something or doing something. One, two, or three. Question number eight, if you were free to do whatever it is you wanted right now, would you, number one, just go and watch, you know, reels or shorts or TV series or play online or watch YouTube videos or read something online? Or number two, would you rather go and, you know, socialize, talk to some friends, listen to some nasheed, maybe talk on the phone, make a WhatsApp call? Or number three, are you somebody, if you're free to do whatever it is you want, you'll just say, hey, I'm going to just laze in my PJs, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to chill out for the rest of the day? Or maybe you'll say, hey, I want to go play a game of soccer, play a game of cricket. Or maybe you might say, I want to go shopping, right? Which one? One, two, or three? So if you are free, do whatever it is you wanted right now. Money is not a problem and permission is sorted out. Would you, number one, watch, you know, watch online, whether it's YouTube, whether it's some reels, whether it's some shorts, you're going to be watching stuff, maybe reading something online? Or number two, would you rather go and socialize, talk to others, listen to some nasheed, listen to some Quran, talk on the phone, talk to people? Or number three, are you somebody who's just going to sleep, laze, play a game of soccer, cricket, even go shopping? Which one? One, two, or three? Very good. Let's go to question number nine. Number nine is, when you talk to others, when you are talking to other people, are you somebody who talks very little and gets bored listening for too long? Or number two, are you somebody who likes to listen and talk as well? You'll ask questions, you'll stop the person, you know, you'll ask something. Or number three, are you somebody, when you talk, you use your hands and you gesture and you move around a lot, you can't sit still? or you can't censor. So again, when you're talking to friends, family, do you, number one, talk very little, get bored listening too long? Or number two, are you somebody who likes to listen and talk, engage and ask questions? Or number three, are you somebody, when you're talking, you move around, you gesture, your hands move, you don't stand one place? And the last question, question number 10. When you've done extremely well and now you deserve to be rewarded and praised, let's just say for the previous term's exam, right, would you, number one, prefer to be rewarded by being given a nice written printed certificate with your name in the fancy calligraphy? Or number two, would you rather hear it announced maybe, you know, at a social function, family function, maybe on radio, maybe even at the school assembly or someplace where it's announced that, hey, Junaid Bayat has done very well, you know, he's got 7 A's. You want to hear it. Or number three, are you somebody who's happy just being given a nice pat on the back, nice tight hug, shake the hand, well done, Junaid? Which one? Number one, to be given a nice printed certificate with your name in the fancy calligraphy? Or number two, to hear it announced or sent to you? Or number three, to be given a nice pat on the back and a shake of the hand and a nice tight hug, and that's it? Which one? One, two, or three? So now I want you to write down 1 equals, 2 equals, and 3 equals. And I want you to total up. How many 1s did you get? How many 2s did you get? And how many 3s did you get? So again, you're going to write down 1 equals, 2 equals, and 3 equals. And from there, now you're going to write down from all these 10 questions, how many 1s did you get? How many 2s did you get? And how many 3s did you get? Okay, so whilst you're doing that, I can talk to you a little bit about the advantages and the advantages of knowing your learning style. It actually maximizes your learning potential. You understand your inner world, so the outer world becomes a walk in the park. We get better results when we understand our personality types and our learning styles. It reduces frustration and stress levels, especially during existing learning strategies. It improves your self-confidence. You're basically learning how best to use your brain, right? Your brain to your advantage according to your personality. You develop better motivation for learning as well. So by now, you should have calculated how many 1s, how many 2s, and how many 3s did you get. So if you had more 1s than any, your highest number from those 3 are the 1s. For example, maybe you got 5-1, 6-1, 7-1, 8-1. If you've got more 1, what this means is right now at this moment in time, your most dominant sense is the sense of seeing, visual. Okay, so it means right now you are a visual learner and you would learn best by looking at something. So if I was teaching you about the human heart, you'd learn best by watching some videos or some holograms, some, you know, YouTube videos, pictures, even PowerPoint presentation. Okay, if you got more 2s, your highest number was more 2s than anything else, then again, 4, 5, 6, right? Then this means you are predominantly an auditory personality right now. So if you were learning about the human heart, you'd want me to give you explanations and definitions, saying it out to you. You'll want to have a discussion. You'll want to ask me questions. You'll want to maybe debate with me about it. So you will actually learn best by speaking and hearing all about the human heart. And then the kinesthetic learners are the ones that they don't want to see, they don't want to hear. They just say, ah, man, just give me that human heart. Let me dissect it. And they might at first go, you know, and then they go, wow, guys, come and have a look at this. They get fascinated. They love experiential learning, meaning learning by experience and doing things with their hands. So if you got more 3s, your highest number was more 3s than anything else, you are currently what we would call a kinesthetic personality. You are hands-on, right? So now let me tell you a little bit about each of these characteristics. So if you know you're a 1, it means you are a visual learner, visual, right? Your learning style is visual right now. If you had more 2s than anything else, you are what we would call an auditory personality, right? And if you had more 3s than anything else, you are what we would call a kinesthetic personality and would learn very differently. Okay, so let's talk about some of the characteristics and how it relates to exams and learning. Okay, so number one, these visual people, if you got more ones than anything else, when they learn, these people must have a quiet area. In fact, visual people are people that like things must look nice. Remember, your sense of sight, vision is now the dominant sense. So everything must look nice, whether it's your working environment, your study environment, whether it's the notes, everything must look nice. So they like to relate to graphs, notes. In fact, if you are a number one, number ones are people that love to make notes. Even if they gave you all the notes, they make notes on top of the notes. In fact, they get frustrated if they are limited and not able to make their own notes. Like I said, they must have a very quiet study area. They get easily distracted by noise and movement. So they, when they study, they want it to be quiet. It must be very quiet. They like to make their own notes. Like I mentioned, even if you give them notes, they'll make notes on top of that. And they also have difficulty sitting in long topics, long lectures, long subjects as well. They are very, very good with details. They pick up little things. You know, you spelled that word wrong, Junaid. They're very detail-orientated. They very often, one of their biggest weaknesses when they visual personalities is they get verbal instructions wrong. So what this means is, a visual person wants information through their eyes. So when you're giving instructions, or if let's just say you're giving somebody directions and you're telling them, listen, I want you to go down the road and at the robot, turn right, carry on straight, at the next robot, turn left. This person will go down the road and they'll pick up the phone. Jade, you know what? I'm here down at the first robot. What must I do? That's because they actually wanted the information through their eyes. You gave it through the ears. So very often at home, the child will get verbal instructions wrong. They'll actually only things only like click after mommy or daddy say something 2 to 3 times. It registers only after 2 to 3 times. So best is when you want to give these people instructions or even directions, write it out. Visual people love checklists. You know, they love anything that looks nice. So you want to actually give them visual instructions by drawing things out and writing things out, creating a to-do list. These people, visual people, when somebody is speaking, whether it's the teacher or anybody else that is speaking to them, they must be able to see the person speaking. They must see from the head to the hips. They must be able to see. We call this must have clear line of visibility. And another very big thing about visual people, they generally are very neat, tidy, prim, proper. They well dressed. They like to dress up, right? Now let's go to number two. If you were a number two, right, you had more twos than anything else, highest number more twos, it means you are predominantly an auditory personality. Okay, so auditory personalities are very, very talkative. They love to talk. They will ask questions. They will engage. They will make noise. They talk a lot. Okay, and they learn very quickly by saying things out, verbalizing things. So they learn very quickly when they are able to say things out loudly. Now, information for auditory people don't need to be seen, but it has to be heard. They must be able, I always tell people, auditory people have super hearing. They don't need to see anything, but they can hear, you know. And they enjoy arguing, discussing, debating. They always want, you know, to get their point across. They want to be the one with the last say in anything. They generally read, when they're learning, they read by reading out loudly. So they follow verbal instructions very well. They are able to memorize names, numbers, generally, because they say things out very, very loudly. They love to socialize. They love to speak. They like to repeat stuff. One big characteristic of auditory personalities, anything you speak to them, you ask them, they repeat what you say. For example, in a classroom environment, if you ask a child who's an auditory personality, hey, what is 7 times 7? They'll go, oh, 7 times 7. I know that. 7 times 7 is 49. So they will repeat it 2 or 3 times. If they don't do it loudly, right, where that you can, they will actually repeat it to themselves in their head. They repeat, right? They read very slowly because they read loudly, right? They vocalize everything. But they make very good speakers, and we can't keep them quiet for long. Now, when it comes to kinesthetic personality, if you had your highest number were more threes than anything else, these threes, remember I told you, they're the misunderstood people. These people are ants in your pants, can't sit still, always enjoying action, movement, they're moving around, they enjoy demonstrations. They have what we call a very lazy brain. The brain looks for the path of least resistance. They hate to actually, you know, write and do work. They hate physical work. So the brain is always looking for ways in which they can do it without doing physical work. So they'll tell you, I want to find a way in which I can do it smarter. They have very, very high IQ, but they very often very poor handwriting. They work a lot with their hands. You know, an example comes to mind is a doctor. These doctors are hands-on people. They like to work with their hands, you know. So they often have very poor handwriting. I mean, like you've ever seen a doctor's note, sometimes you need to be a PhD to decipher what that note is, you know. So yes, they have a lazy brain. They learn best by experiencing things, right? They learn also best by giving a demonstration. You know, if a teacher was in the class, what the teacher said goes over their head. What the teacher showed the child went over there. But if the teacher came to a kinesthetic personality, stood right next to them, one-on-one, and showed them only once, this is how it's done, showed them the process, they get it one shot. And these people, when it comes to dressing up, they don't care. They generally are people who don't care about dressing up. As long as they are comfortable, they don't worry about everybody else. They can go to the mall in their sandals, and, you know, they don't worry. As long as they are comfortable, they're not worried about everybody else. They also sometimes they talk very fast. They use their hands. They get very restless if there's a conversation going, it's long, and there's no involvement for them or there's nothing. They are, you know, then also, this is where they are most understood. These people can't study for very long periods. They need very, very often, they need more breaks. So they study for, you know, like 15, 20 minutes, and now they're bored. So they need lots of breaks, and they need to move while studying. Whereas a number one, a visual personality, they love to learn by sitting on a chair behind the desk. They love that. Number threes don't like sitting. They will always be moving around. You'll find, you know, they're shifting gears. So what you'd rather do is for a number three, tell them, stand and walk around and learn. Right? Move around and learn. And you'll also find another big characteristic of a kinesthetic personality is they will fiddle. They will fiddle with their pen, with their topi, with their scarf, with their everything that's around them. They want to touch something. They want to hold something. They want to feel something. So they're constantly, you know, fiddling. So to alleviate that when learning for exam, make them stand, walk around, and hold the book in their hand. They must hold the book in their hand. Now, this is what's going to be very weird to you, because this is where it starts getting, you know, kind of very weird. A kinesthetic personality can be sitting in front of a television, right? And with the book open in their hand, they learn very well. Now, remember, these are just characteristics. There are no right and wrong about these, okay? So they can put a headset on, listening to nasheed, music, whatever they're listening to, with a book in their hand, and in front of the TV. Now, if their parents are ones and twos, the mother will come and, hey, how can you be learning? You'll be distracted. You can't learn like this. You know, this comes, there was a student just before COVID. I think it was in 2018 or 2019. This child, I had coached her, and she had come out in the top 50 in the country in her matric final exam. But during her interview, you know, with the media, when the media interviewed the mother said, you know, I thought this child was going to fail. This child would be walking around the house with a headset on and the books in her hand. They had one of these bouncing trampolines outside, the big one. She would be bouncing on the trampoline and learning and studying her work. And her mother would go, you can't learn like this. You're going to fail. And she actually came out top 50 in the country. So, yeah, different people learn very differently. They have very different characteristics. Now, a number one, their best position, a number three, a kinesthetic personality, their best position for studying for them is lying down on their tummy. They like to lie down on their tummy with their legs up and the book in front of them. So as you can see, these are some of the characteristics. Now, these kinesthetic people, they you know what I was talking about, the lazy brain? They lose marks for process, because what happens is the brain is working things out in their brain so that they don't write it down. So be very careful. If you are a kinesthetic personality, you'll find that because the brain and the body hates the work, the physical work of writing, they actually lose marks for steps and processes. They're always losing marks because their brain is calculating already. It's working things out, and they just put answers down. They don't put the steps and the processes. So let's talk a little bit about some study tips for all three. Now, listeners, remember, we've identified what is your most dominant and strongest sense, right? Now, I want to tell you, if you want to become a damn good learner, a super learner, you cannot rely on one sense or one modality. You have to become a super learner by using all three. Why? Let's just say, for example, you come to grade 12, you go for, let's just say, for example, business studies, and you got an old 60-year-old business studies teacher who now just comes in there and he just starts talking, you know, according to this act of here and this law and that, and he's talking. There's no PowerPoint, didn't give you any notes. So if you're a visual person, you go, hey, where's the notes? Where's the PowerPoint? Now you feel like you can't learn. So we got to learn how to adapt our modalities according to the teacher, according to the way information is being delivered. So to know what your learning style is, then it's easy to now adapt. So I'm going to give you six study tips that all learners must use, right? Number one, take lots of pictures of your notes of the work that you need to learn, right? Take lots of pictures. The mind, the brain actually works with pictures, not words, okay? If I told you mother, the first thing that comes to mind is a picture of your mother. If I told you car, if I told you pizza, if I told you tree, anything I tell you, the first thing your brain does, it pictures something. So the first reference of the human brain is always a picture, not word. So take lots of pictures. And also remember, you are more likely to go to bed with your phone in your hand than to pick up a book. That's just reality, right? Number two, watch videos. Watch a lot of videos. If there's something you didn't understand, you don't have to go and watch the entire section or the entire syllabus. The section or the topic you don't understand, watch videos, right? Understanding shoots up by 71% when we watch videos, proven by Google in May of 2016. Number three, record the notes. Record anything that you're finding difficult by saying it out loudly, verbalizing it, saying it out loudly, record it once and listen to it over and over and over again, because anything that you listen to multiple times for the whole day, the whole night, the whole week, if you keep listening to a nasheed or a song the whole day, the whole night, it gets stuck. The words get stuck in you. You know the words, okay? And then number four is do lots and lots of practice examples. Now, if you're doing subjects like math, EMS, where there's calculations, or accounting when you get to high school, or you're doing chemistry where lots of calculations, three or four examples is not going to do it for you, right? You need to be doing at least 10 to 14 examples. They say practice, you know, this is a very famous thing, practice makes perfect. I don't agree with that. I say we want progress, so you want to practice. When you practice, you're getting experience. Experience means the more I do something, the better I understand it. So you're going to understand it very much more better. Number five, have regular breaks. This is for all personality types. For every 1 hour, you need to have two breaks. So you study for 30 minutes, have a 5-minute break, and then do another 30 minutes and have another 5 to 10 minute break. And the last one is discuss or teach what you have learned. So it's like having a discussion with somebody, teaching your parents, or just teaching yourself. Stand in front of the mirror. Teach yourself what it is that you are learning. Also, if you use highlighters, I'm just going to cover a few, you know, odd ones here. If you use highlighters, the number one rule for highlighters is never, ever hold the highlighter in your hand. And people go, huh? What? How do we use it? So here's why we should never, ever use I mean, hold the highlighter in your hand. If you're using highlighters as a strategy for learning, what happens is if you're holding the highlighter, the objective of your brain has shifted from learning to looking for something to color. And you'll highlight. You'll highlight full, the page number. You'll highlight the spine. You'll highlight. You just want a picture in color. You know, you just want to make it in color. So never ever hold the highlighter. It must be on the desk. You saw something to highlight. You pick up the highlighter. You highlight it and you put it back on the desk. We want the brain to be learning. So when it comes to exam questions, right, test types, assessment types, and questions for the different learning styles, visual learners learn very well. They like anything that's visual, like, for example, graph, diagram, to label something, to essays, to read something. But the hardest test type is actually oral testing. So they don't do too well in oral testing. When it comes to your auditory learners, all the number twos, they actually love, you know, oral exams where teacher asks questions and they must answer questions. They must answer. So these guys love discussions. They like to debate. They love to ask questions and challenge the teacher. If they like to learn by you verbally asking a question and then they got to write an answer. They like that. Okay. Now when we go to the kinesthetic learners, remember we said they have a lazy brain? So their strength is actually in all things easy. They want fill in the blanks, one word, you know, multiple choice, labeling, matching, true and false. They like easy way out. They hate writing. In fact, you'll find a kinesthetic personality, if they have to write an essay, after writing a few sentences, sometimes maybe even four or five sentences, they will put their pens down and they'll, you know, massage their hands and they'll say, oh, can I finish this later? So they hate writing, and that's why the writing will start neat and then start getting really unrecognizable, right? So this is basically some of their strengths and their weaknesses. Now, remember, based on the sense or the modality that is most strongest, you will speak according to that, right? So this is your language. Your language or the linguistics, the language pattern is actually matched according to this modality of yours. For example, a visual learner, right? And remember, I mentioned this before. Your language is subconscious. You don't think about what word to use in a sentence. The entire sentence just comes out. It flies out. So that's why we say it's subconscious, right? So a visual person, if you're a number one, right, you'll be using, you'll find that you'll use a lot of visual words like show, look, see, clear, vision, imagine. They'll use very visual language. Auditory personalities will use more auditory language. They'll use words like, they don't know this, but while speaking, they'll use words like listen, hear, sound, talk, discuss, tune, question, answer. And kinesthetic personalities will use words like feel, touch, hold, hard, easy, grip. You know, these are the kinds of words and language patterns the different personalities use. Now, why am I telling you this is, I want you to become consciously aware of those around you. Start at home. When people are speaking, tune in a little bit deeper to hear what kind of words are they using. Are they using visual words? Are they using auditory words? Or are they using kinesthetic words? Because when you match somebody's modality, for example, if you match your teacher's modality, your teacher is visual, talking in visual, and now you start matching it, meaning you also become visual, even though you're a number two or a number three. You're now matching their modality, understanding becomes very easy. You go, I get this very quickly. Okay, I understand this very quickly, you pick it up. So language patterns play a vital role in understanding content. Okay, so if I were to speak to a visual person, I'm going to say the same thing three times, but I'm going to address it using language specifically for each learning style. So let's look at the first one, visual learners. If I were to speak to a visual learner, it'll go something like this. If I could show you a smarter way in which you could learn and benefit, you would at least want to look at it, wouldn't you? And if they shake their head, we go, if this looks good to you, we will go ahead and focus on getting the homework or the test done. Saying the exact same thing to an auditory person, a number two. If I could tell you a faster way in which you could learn and benefit, you would at least want to hear about it, wouldn't you? And if the number two shakes their head, you go, if this sounds good to you, we will go ahead and discuss how to get the exam, how to get the mark, or how to set the homework. Saying the exact same thing to a kinesthetic personality will go like this. If I could help you get hold of an easier way in which you could learn and benefit, you would at least want to get a feel for it, wouldn't you? And then if they shake their head, you go, if this feels good to you, we will go ahead and handle the homework or the assignment. So as you can see, language patterns play a vital, vital role in our personality and our learning style. We need to know how to maximize this. I see I have very few minutes left. Okay, so I'm going to just cover one last part, and this is basically the love languages of the different personalities and how they like to be given attention and cared for. So number one are visual personalities. These people love, when you speak to them and communicate with them, you must look at them. You must look at them, okay? It's a big must for them. They speak generally very little. They have very clear set boundaries and rules. Like, for example, they tell you, don't come in my room. You know, don't come near me. And the opposite, a kinesthetic personality, you know, when they want your attention, they'll nudge you, they'll touch you, they'll come close to you. They are touches and feels of the world, okay? So they are, you know, that's how number three is. Number one are people that have very high emotional intelligence, meaning they can walk into a room and sense that, okay, things are tense here. Looks like somebody had an argument or somebody's been fighting, and, they'll quickly try to get out of it. But visual people love attention. In fact, when they are given attention, they want undivided attention. So they don't want you must be, you know, giving somebody else attention while giving them attention. They love gifts. They love you to spend time with them, quality time. Auditory personalities. These people love only two things. They want respect and appreciation. They want words of appreciation to say, hey, you know, I really appreciate you doing this or doing that for them. So they just want to be respected and appreciated. These people are engaged by deep, meaningful conversations, arguments, debates, discussions. They love that. They speak a lot. In fact, they speak the most. They're very expressive. They'll tell you about how they feel, what their opinions are. They like to go to places that are social, where there are other people that they can talk to. Visual people like to go to places that are more scenic, you know, like the ocean, catch a sunrise, catch a sunset. And these auditory personalities have very high social intelligence. And the last one, listeners, is kinesthetic personalities. These people's love language is touch. They love, you know, hugs, touches. When you speak to them, put your hand on their shoulder. They're very soft-hearted. They tend to be very shy. They can cry very easily. They are very passionate about nature, about animals, about the world around us. They love to go to places like the beach, the park, the grounds, anywhere where they got lots of space. They can run and be free. And they generally have very, very high IQ. So listeners, I'm out of time. I'll continue with the skills that are required to succeed in 2024 and how to develop those skills in the next session. So that's it from me, Junaid Bayat, on the Power Hour. I hope you enjoyed today's session. I hope you now understand your personality type and your learning style. And now you know how to maximize it, for your tests or your exams as well as in your personal life. So that's it from me, Junaid Bayat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.